Let's open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, and today we're looking at verse 14. We were supposed to look at this passage last week, and we got snowed in. We got our what's called a classical Canadian winter. In other words, we're living in Canada, and this is normal. Some of you have been taking advantage of that, learning how to snowboard, and some of you have been traveling on doing some snowboard trips. This is my kind of church. But one of the consequences of living in Canada is some Sundays we have to say no when to call it, and it was one of those Sundays. And so this poor old sermon just got sidelined, went and put it in my file cabinet. Matt House popped by midweek, and he said to me, he says, I hope you don't plan on preaching that sermon that you were going to preach last Sunday. He says, I want fresh manna. So I don't want a stale. I don't want stale manna. I want fresh manna. And so I said to Matt, I said, you know, Matt, you're thinking of it all wrong. This is not stale manna. This is kind of like, it's like croutons, right? You can use it, you can put it on your salad, you can, you know, use it as a garnish. You can even put it in your soup, a little crunchy garnish on your soup. And so today you get croutons, and this is last week's message, but it has been marinating with me all week. It's just such an amazing passage, and so I'm quite thankful I got to take an extra week just thinking about this particular scripture. Paul has been talking to the Ephesians from prison about how amazing it is, what everything that God has done for them. He tells them things such as that in Christ that we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. He tells them that they were chosen before the foundation of the world and that God has blessed them with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And not only that, but now they have been included with the people of God into the family of God. They were once strangers and foreigners, but now they're fellow citizens with the saints and they're members of the household of God. And not only that, but their access that the Jewish people had, the Christians now brought in to be included with the Jewish people through Christ have an access that to God that they never dreamed of. And so this is the new reality that we have, is that we have life in Christ that is way beyond what we could ever imagine. And now Paul is taking time to say to them, listen, this is the truth. This is what God has done for you, but it has to become your reality by faith. And there's certain things that God has ordered this life in such a way that he has done things for us, but we need to take steps of faith. Just like in the promised land, they need to take steps of faith into new territories, new areas. God has already said it, this is yours, but you need to walk by faith into those areas. And so the title of this message today is The Power That Works in Us. We're going to be looking how we are strengthened in prayer, empowered by the Spirit, and how we are grounded in love. And so let's take a look at verse 14. And Paul says, for this reason. And before I go on there, I feel like I got to just pause, because when you see for this reason, you might zoom back and look at one verse prior and you might think, okay, the reason why Paul is praying for them is because they would be upset by his tribulations, his being in prison, because that's what he says in the previous verse. He says, don't be upset, be encouraged that I'm in prison on your behalf. This is okay. I'm okay with this. But that is not the for this reason that Paul's talking about. You have to look at things contextually, and he'll take us all the way back to the beginning of this chapter, which he started by saying, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of the Lord. And he's about to pray, but then he goes into this massive parenthesis in which he's talking to the Ephesian Christians about God's mysterious plan, which we talked about a few weeks ago, which is that you have a cosmic mission by which the angels are looking at the church and learning about God's goodness and greatness and his amazing plan of mercy, and that you are positioned by his providence and you are qualified by his call. Remember that a couple weeks ago? And so now when he's saying for this reason, he's actually pointing back to chapters 1 and 2. And he's saying that because you are chosen before the foundation of the world, because you are redeemed in Christ, because you have access to God, because God has given you every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, I'm praying for you. He says, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know that you may know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And so we're looking at those three things today, that we are strengthened in prayer, empowered by the Spirit, and that we are grounded in love. Paul's telling us here that God accomplishes his work by his power. We need the power of God to live out this life. We need the power of God to do what God is calling us to do as a church. We can't do it apart from his power. I don't know about you, but I'm always fascinated with lightning. I think it's just this most incredible thing, just this display of power. I think it's 5 times hotter than the surface of the sun. And it's just an amazing thing. And I've always been interested in it, to the point where when I was a kid, my dad actually came outside once, and he had never had to do this before, but he had to say a certain thing to us children, Melanie and I, because we're on the roof of the house. And he looks, and there's a storm coming, and there's lightning all around us. And he looks up on the roof, and he sees his kids. And he goes, "Are you guys stupid?" Don't use that word, children. That's not a nice word. But my dad needed to pull out the stupid word. And we're like, we're told not to call people stupid. What are you saying? But we were being really foolish in that moment. But at the same time, I mean, my science teacher had told me that lightning, it hits the higher locations. And there was a silo, so I was actually being quite wise. We were only on the roof, not on the silo. But you've also heard the saying that lightning never hits the same thing twice. You ever hear that saying? It is a total lie. It actually is more likely to hit the same thing twice. And the reason being is that lightning is quite predictable, actually, in that it hits the highest points. And that's what lightning does. That's why the CN Tower just gets hammered every year with lightning, because it's the highest point. And here's the beautiful thing about the power of God, is that there are ways in which God has ordained for his power to be unleashed in the church, and it is through prayer. It is by us being empowered by the Holy Spirit, by faith in Christ. It is by us being grounded in love. This is how the church experiences the power of God to do the things that he has called us to do. You see, many churches, we can have the temptation to build a church based on the business model. It's tempting because, in a way, it works. You can do the things that the business world does, and you can build up a brand. You can build up a culture, a group of people who come together who are like-minded, and it's in some ways, it's easier. In some ways, it's a little less messy. In some ways, it's a little bit more acceptable to society to work in those ways. You can do branding. You can do demographics. You can have your target group. And the problem is it's not God's way. And I am so thankful that God has placed me here at Sweets Corners Church in this cute but kind of backwards little building in the middle of nowhere. There's just very few people. We're in the sticks. I show people in the Philippines, they're like, "Where's your church?" And I zoom out and they say, "Well, where's your city? Where's your people?" No, there is none. You see, people got to come from all over the place to drive out to this community. And God positioned us here for this time, for this purpose, to bring glory to his name, to be a light in this community. And he's done so magnificently by his power. And I remember the time many years ago where this church was just right full. And we had to look to plant a church in our community just down the road. And we sent away more than 50% of our church. And then we were down to 60 people again. I remember a guy in the parking lot coming up to me after church. And he says, "What were you thinking?" He wasn't too happy with the situation. He's like, "What were you thinking?" He says, "You were lucky this church filled up the first time. You really think it's going to fill up again?" And because I know something that he didn't know, and I don't know why he didn't know it. Maybe I wasn't preaching very good. But he didn't know this, that it was nothing to do with us. It's nothing to do with luck. It's nothing to do with us as a people apart from the power of God. It was the power of God in us. It was the presence of God in this place in which God worked by his might and his power. And so I could confidently look this gentleman in the eye and say to him, "Listen, when it happens again, I'm not going to say I told you so. I'm telling you," but I didn't tell him. Because God did it again, and he'll do it again. God, it's like my mom said it in the first service, but she forgot to bring it into the second service, the jars, you know, and however many jars were set aside as an act of faith, God just filled them all. That's a story in the Old Testament. There's just that understanding that God works in supernatural ways. He works by his power. And so I'm not saying we shouldn't do branding. I mean, we have a logo. I paid some guy on Fiverr from, I think he's some person from India on Fiverr. I think they punked it off the figure skating club actually in Hagersville. And it actually looks like the identical logo. And so we paid $5 for our logo and it served us quite well. People actually kind of like our logo. Matt teases me that it looks like the figure skating club. But other than him, everybody's like, "Yeah, well, we like it." We put some focus on those things. We try to do our best, but it's the power of God. It is the power of God that transforms lives. It's the power of God that brings growth. It's the power of God that overcomes the old man which grows corrupt according to its deceitful lusts, as the Bible calls it. And it's the power of God that renews us day by day so that the new man, the new life of Christ, continues to grow. And so we need to position ourselves just like the CN Tower is positioned. Only it looks a little different when it comes to how we position ourselves to receive the power of God. You see, it's not the highest or the tallest. Paul says it very clearly. And I love that his prayer is written down for us, that we have this amazing gift of seeing what he's saying to God in prayer for the church. And he says, "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." You see, it's not the highest peak that receives the power, but it's the lowest. It is when we bow our knees in reverence and understanding that God is King of all, that God is the ruler who can do all things, that God can do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. And as we humble ourselves before him, now there's something that you would see that it sounds like they're at odds against each other, because we just learned 2 weeks ago in verse 12 that in him, in Jesus, we have boldness and access with confidence. And then we see here Paul coming and bowing down before God on his knees. It's like that's not our approach coming to our earthly father. You know, when I come to go over to my dad's house and I got to borrow the tractor, I don't get down on my knees and I just, "Hey, Dad, can I use the tractor?" And he's like, "Sure." And here's what we need to understand. With our Heavenly Father, there is this incredible access. It's made possible through Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, they had to go through the priesthood. They couldn't enter into the Holy of Holies. They couldn't even come into the more sacred part of the tabernacle. There was a separation. Only the Jewish people could come to God in any way at all. And the people who were outside, there was a lot of different things they needed to do to come in as those who were not Jewish in origin. And so there was a separation. And all of that in Christ was torn down. All of that was just pictures of Jesus Christ, the one who is the blood on the mercy seat, the one who is the one who made a way for us to come into the Holy of Holies of God. And so we have this access into the presence of God, and it is an access by which we can come boldly to his throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need, Hebrews 4:16. That is the access that we have to God. We can come to him as a child coming to their father and saying, I need the good things that you have to offer to me. I need your help. I need your guidance. I need your wisdom. And we can come boldly. However, we still come to a king. And therefore, there are times where we should get on our knees before God. It is a beautiful thing to get on your knees before God. If you've never got on your knees in prayer before, one, I don't know if you ever really were desperate. There's that too, right? There's those times where it's just like, I am so at the end of myself that I just drop to my knees. God, help me. You know, like Paul Hensman was telling me before the service when his daughter was literally hit with lightning. And the operating, the surgeon said, listen, call your wife, expect the worst. Her internal organs are likely to be cooked. That's how this works. She may look fine on the outside, but this could be very bad. Prepare her for the worst. Paul Hensman goes in the back room, drops to his knees. Prays, God, help me. I don't know if you've had those times of desperation, but I tell you, it's a beautiful thing when you drop to your knees and acknowledge that you're talking to the King of the universe and he alone can help you. And then he acts in his power. Or maybe, you know, you don't get the answer you want, but you get a peace that surpasses all understanding and an overwhelming sense of it is well with my soul. In Paul's case, he got a miracle. And wow, you know, you just carry that with you. And so Paul, for this reason, he bows his knee before his knees before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. You're part of this family. You're part of this family of God. It's so much bigger than Sweet's Corners Church. You know, we say our church is a non-denominational church, and we're okay with that. But I tell you, we're not independent. We are connected to all the other churches around the world. We are connected to the churches in our community. We are all brothers and sisters, everyone who has faith in Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named. Those who have gone on before us and those who remain, we are named with the name of our Father God, through Jesus Christ. So we have direct access to God. Ephesians 2:18, for through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. We don't come anymore to Mount Zion or Sinai like they did in the Old Testament. We don't come to fear and trembling and loud noises and thunderings and unapproachable light as they did in the Old Testament, where it says Moses was terrified. But we come instead to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to the multitude of heavenly hosts. We come in a way that we can approach God's presence anytime we want. And therefore, that is where we are strengthened. Praying, coming to God. Doesn't mean every time you got to get on your knees, by the way. You have a heart posture of being on your knees before God. Sometimes you physically can't get on your knees and you can just posture your heart. But I tell you, once in a while, get on your knees because he is worthy. He is the king. When Joni Erickson Tada was 17 years old, many of you've heard of her. She broke her neck in a diving accident, 17. And she honored God and glorified him to the best of her ability, became an artist with her mouth. She paints these beautiful pictures. She wrote, authored many books. She became a conference speaker. Man, this woman has given glory to God, but she has had struggles. One time at a conference where she was speaking, another speaker was up at the front preaching on this passage, and he talks about getting on their knees before God, and he says to the people at the conference, everybody get on your knees before God. Let's pray. And the whole conference got on their knees, and she was sitting there in her chair. She says that it was one of the hardest moments of her life. She says it broke her heart because she couldn't get on her knees. That night at home, she prayed, and she said, Jesus, I can't wait for the day where I will rise on resurrected legs. And the first thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to drop down on grateful, glorified knees to worship you. You know, we often think, you know, we'd probably want to run with our glorified bodies. She says her first act is to get up so that she can get down on those knees to worship the king. Philip Brooks says, this is how we should pray. Don't pray for easier lives. How many of you have done that? We can admit we've done that. Just, God, I need a break. Just give me a break here. You know, make an easy path for me. I just want the easy road. Sometimes life is difficult sometimes. I know it's okay to desire to want to pray those prayers, but Philip Brooks says, don't pray for easy lives. He says, pray instead to be stronger men and women. Don't pray for tasks equal to your powers. Pray for powers equal for the task that he has called you to. Those are different prayers, aren't they? It sure changes the way that we approach God. You see, we're strengthened in prayer. We're also empowered by the Spirit. He goes on in verse 16 to say that he, God, would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, Jesus said, but you will receive power from on high when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. We oftentimes want to just play, just play church in some ways. We get tempted to do things in our own ability. We're oftentimes more like those magicians in Pharaoh's day. Remember those guys? Moses is coming and acting in the power of God. He is speaking God's words, and great plagues are being released on the land. He strikes the water and the Nile River turns to blood. What do Pharaoh's magicians do? They go and they find some clean water and they're like, oh, look, we can turn it to blood too. And they play some magic tricks or something and they turn their water into blood. It's like, yay, do you not realize this is the judgment of God? You know, this great act. And what are they doing? They're trying to mimic it by human effort. So many times, don't we find that we do those things? That we try to live the Christian life out of our own power, out of our own ability, and that we trust that whatever it is that God is calling us to do, that, you know, he's not going to take us beyond our comfort or our ability. And the truth is that God wants you to trust him completely. He wants you to be in situations and circumstances where your only option is to say, God, if I don't receive a miracle, if I don't see your power in the situation, there's no way through this. So many times, even in our evangelism, this is one of the most scathing things, is that even in our evangelism, I find that Christians do not share the gospel with people who they think are unlikely to respond to the gospel, because you think that it has something to do with your power of persuasion. What a sad, sorry thing that is. Do you not believe that God can still grab hold of hard-hearted people like Saul or Paul? Do you not think that God cannot take that, like that man, the criminal on the cross, and flip a heart in the opposite direction because of the power of the testimony of Jesus Christ who is beside him on that cross? Do you not think that God could take your uncle or your aunt or niece or nephew who is hard-hearted and in rebellion and so enjoying the pleasures of sin that you think they would never turn their life over to Jesus? But because of the power of the Word of God and the presence of the Spirit of God, darkness is eradicated, and light and obedience and a life in Christ is born. Empowered by the Spirit. And see, this power comes according to the riches of his glory, not from the riches of his glory. And you look at it and say, oh, that's just being pedantic. That's just being like picking on words. And you're just, you know, that's just wording. But it's huge. Wording is everything here. It's not that God gives you from the riches that he has, but rather according to the riches of his glory. Let me ask you a question. Suppose that you have a friend who's a billionaire, okay? Billions of dollars. Would you rather that he gives you something from his riches or according to his riches? Does that now change everything for you on how you understand the wording? You would want him to give you according to, this is how God empowers you, according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. He's an awesome God. He can do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask or think. Finally, you are grounded in love. You're strengthened in prayer. You are empowered by his Spirit, and you are grounded in love. Listen to verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Two things in there that are kind of hard to understand. The starts off with that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. It's like, oh, I don't get this. Why are you praying that Christ would dwell in their hearts through faith? Are they not Christians already? The word dwell there is that Jesus more and more, it gives the understanding that Jesus more and more would be at home in that kind of heart. It's just a heart that is less focused on the things of this world and more caught up with everything that God has to offer, more focused on the truth as revealed in God's word, set on him so that it becomes a thing where there's parts of our life, there's parts of my life that I'm just kind of holding out on that area. I don't totally trust God with that yet. I kind of know I have that part under control, and so I manage that myself. And I don't know if I'm willing to step out in faith to see what God's willing to do there, but I can manage that. Sometimes we think we can manage sin. Some people try some sort of sin management. You can't manage sin. And God wants every room of your heart to be wide open to him. And so this is what we're being prayed over here, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that he may be at home in your hearts, in every part of your being, that Jesus would be in charge of the house. This is what God wants. This is what Paul prays, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints. I love in verse 19, he says, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. So Paul's praying that they would know the unknowable, right? It's the love of Christ which passes knowledge. In other words, it's unknowable. But guess what? When you pray, God's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think. And you can know an unknowable love, a love that is only known because of the powerful work of the Holy Spirit inside of your heart. And that is shown to us through the cross of Christ. You see, the cross, it's wide enough to include all people. Even that person that you think stubbornly would never surrender their life to Jesus Christ. I shared with our youth on Wednesday night how in youth group once I sat behind, or in school, in high school, I sat behind this kid was going to be heading off to a university, everything paid for their education. They had 98.5% in their class and seemed to have everything handed to them. Like they're just, because they were so smart and everything looked so good in their life. And I felt this strong impression, invite that one to youth group. Okay, I don't even know this person. Hey, do you want to come to a youth group tonight? This is grade 12. Didn't think that this person would reply. I was expecting no. So the person turns around and is like, sure, I'll go with you. And I'm just like, what? I wasn't ready for that. I was just being obedient here. And I was just ready for the no that was inevitably going to come. You know, I didn't expect this to happen. It was exceedingly abundantly above and all that I could ask or think. And this is what God wants to do, because his love is wide enough to include all people. It's long enough to go throughout all history. You see, people didn't just start getting heaven when Jesus came. That faith was always the way. And therefore, Romans tells us that God passes over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at his present time his righteousness, his ability to save. He passed over all of those sins, all looking forward to Jesus Christ for those who trusted in him. His salvation goes back throughout all history to all who put their faith in God, looking forward to Jesus. It's deep enough to pull up the worst of sinners. It's high enough to take us to heaven. Isn't that a beautiful image? The cross of Christ is the width and the length and the depth and the height of God's love. This is what God has for us. Let's stand up together. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful. Everything that you've done. In and through your church, everything that we've seen you do in our lives, the patience that you have shown to us in times where we have lived so selfishly, the grace that you show to us, even in times in our lives where there's such prayerlessness, I ask that we would be overwhelmed, burdened with an understanding today of the incredible gift that we have. That we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in you. That we can come boldly before your throne of grace to get the help that we need. And I ask that, Lord God, we would live in such a way that we would understand that we cannot live the life that you've called us to live in our power, in our ability. That we would quit playing church. That we would quit just mimicking your power. Playing around with the traditions of men. When God, you have given us everything that we need to live a life of godliness, a life that shines brightly for you. Father, that we would live up to these truths that we've learned so far in Ephesians. This is Paul's prayer. This is my prayer. This is our prayer today. God, we pray this prayer over our children. We pray this over our relatives. We pray this over our friends and our neighbors who may be caught up in a religious cycle that leads them nowhere and that does not bring glory to your name. We pray it over our own hearts that, Jesus, we can experience your great love and your great power and the strength that comes from knowing that, God, you can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think according to the power that works in us. We want to bring glory to you through this church, Jesus. We want to bring honor to your name. Father, we bring before you those who need a touch of your power. We ask that you would heal Shannon Lyle from her back injury, that you would work by your Holy Spirit inside of her body, that she would have a peace that surpasses all understanding right now. And Father, we thank you so much for what you're going to do there. We pray for Maddie, Lori's granddaughter, that you would bring liberty to her, work in your power in her life. Father, we thank you for answered prayer in regard to Josie's mom. We continue to cover them in prayer as they continue to rally around her and to be a strength and a support. Father, we ask that you do once again what only you can do. Show your power, your amazing ability to do way above what we could ask or think. And Father, we thank you so much for this church as we come through these winter months, and sometimes it just seems like the darkness never ends. We ask that, Lord, you would just bring your light and life every single day. Show us the opportunities that are all around us to shine for you and to show that, God, your plan is not stopped by anything that happens in the world around us, but that, God, your plans and your purposes are unfolding all around us. And we want to bring honor to, we want to be a part of this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.